Without further ado, we welcome Jacob Hamilton into the studio. He is an Austin-based, award-winning filmmaker who has been at it since 2003. His newest film is Jump Shot, a look at the history of basketball's greatest invention and the mystery of the man who was behind that jump shot, Kenny Sailors. He is not only believed to be the inventor of the jump shot, but just an all-around awesome human being. The film Jump Shot premiered at South by Southwest this year, and Jake is in studio with us now. Jake, thank you so much for the time. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of the film, South by Southwest is obviously a crazy time. Yours is one that received quite a bit of buzz. It premiered at the Adam Theater early in the week. I think there were several showings throughout. Just how was South by for you this year?
South by Southwest was amazing. It's an exciting thing for me to be able to roll out my directorial debut at a local film festival and something as prestigious as South by Southwest. And we couldn't have asked for a better time for the film. It was well received by audiences. We had great crowds, an awesome premiere, sold out theaters. Our next second and third screenings, and then we're selected for an additional buzz screening by the festival. So
on Saturday, right?
On Saturday, yeah. So it's, yeah, pretty surreal.
Obviously, South by Southwest happens in early to mid-March, and so does the start of March Madness, the start of the NCAA basketball tournament. When you were starting to put this together, considering the college basketball element to it with Kenny Sailors and really making a name for himself with Wyoming, winning a national championship with the Cowboys, at Madison Square Garden versus St. John's way back in the day. Were you targeting March as a release date for this movie for those reasons?
Well, I could tell you that it was definitely in mind. I mean, that was something, it couldn't have been a better time to roll it out leading up into March Madness like it is. We're glad it worked out.
And not just that, but you guys had a ton of different participants who talked about the importance of the jump shot, and also Kenny Sailor, some guys learning about him for the first time. Guys from Dirk Nowitzki to Stephen Curry to Bob Knight, Kevin Durant, a whole lot more names as well. At what point did you start getting some of these bigger names on board to lend their voices to this film?
Yeah, well, I mean, to go back even a little bit further, this is something I started, this project I started a little over 7 years ago. And when you're making a documentary film and you're kind of starting from the very beginning, like we were not having a ton of connections in the basketball world, you start with a small circle. Like, who knew Kenny? How can we get in touch with them? And then from there, you begin to, you know, it's a snowball effect of who you sit down with. And we brought on one of our producers, Ty Clark, who has a basketball background, played professionally in Europe, played college ball in the United States, and he knows a lot of these guys. And so he kind of started sounding the horns, knocking on, you know, making the phone call, seeing who would sit down with us and might know about Kenny. And from there, it just kind of snowballed. I think we sat down with Jay Billis at one point in time, and at the end of the interview, and I tell every documentary filmmaker this, at the end of every interview, whoever your subject is, ask them, who else should I talk with? Who else do you think would be great to sit down with and shed
idea.
Light on this? And when we did that with Jay, he was like, well, you know, you need to get in touch with Bob Knight. He's like, here's his secretary's information. Reach out to her. She'll make sure it happens.
Wow.
And then from there, you know, everything just kind of falls in place.
It just gradually got a little bit easier the more people you talk to.
Like, oh, this guy, you know, he's in it. Well, I'll talk about it. And so, yeah.
So where did you come up with this idea yourself, number one, to make this documentary, but also how did you learn about Kenny Sailors yourself?
Yeah, so, it was like June of 2011, I guess. I was searching for documentary ideas and actually came across a short 2-minute clip of Kenny talking about jumping over his brother on the farm and how he was benched his first year in the NBA because he shot a jump shot. And I was just immediately like blown away that somebody invented the jump shot, just like most people are. I was like, wait, I thought that always existed, and let alone somebody invented it. And I was like, this is absolutely bonkers. And so I was like, well, let's figure out if this guy's still around. Did a little bit of research. One of Kenny's good friends in the film, he actually just recently at that time built a website out for Kenny because he had kind of just came back into Laramie, Wyoming, and that community, and people were starting to reach out to him. And, you know, a 90-year-old guy isn't going to be the first person to, like, take all these calls and, you know, answer emails and whatnot. And so reached out to them through the website, and they're like, yeah, let's, you know, we'd love for you to meet Kenny. So I went up there, had breakfast with him, and we talked about the possibility of making this film and what it would look like. And yeah, I think, you know, we're very pleased with how it is and how it turned out. I mean, it's amazing to capture, you know, 90, you know, plus years of a man's life and put it, you know, in a 90-minute film.
And unfortunately, Kenny is no longer with us, although he lived to the ripe old age of 95, which is incredible. And it was also incredible to see how well he was moving around at 90 years old. I mean, he was out on the basketball court,
yeah,
dribbling it around through his legs.
Didn't want to bend
shots.
Over, though. Didn't want to bend over to get the rebound.
You know, considering that I'm 41 and I don't want to bend over to pick the ball up.
Dude,
half the time, I don't
blame
want to
do
him.
That, man.
Just how cool was it getting to be around somebody who just seemed like a gracious human being on top of being somebody who was one of the great innovators in the sport?
Yeah, I mean, immediately when you sit down, I mean, Kenny knows no strangers. I mean, he will start a conversation with anybody, you know, standing in an elevator, sitting next to him at a barber shop, like he's going to make a friend. And while you're filming with him, you know, I constantly had that pinch me moments where I'm like, I'm literally standing next to a living legend right now. And how often do we get to do that when we're standing next to somebody that, you know, arguably changed the way that the game of basketball is played, not just, you know, here in the United States, but around the world. Like everywhere you go, people mm-hmm. shoot a jump shot. And Kenny is the one that, you know, popularized, created this shot that is used today, the jump shot, the modern day jump shot. And so, I mean, yeah, it's amazing to get to work with somebody of that stature, but then also of his character as well.
It's crazy, right? The documentary, and we want to encourage as many people to check it out as possible, but it just starts, and the story of how the jump shot was created. You mentioned he was just playing at the farm with his brother. His brother was 6'5", and Kenny was like 5'7", and his brother showed no mercy. You know, it's going to older brother. Every time he'd pull up for a set shot, which is what you had back in the day.
Those set shots.
We just swatted into the neighbor's house or onto the farm or something like that. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal story. Did he, you know, was he open about talking about this to you right away? Did he tell you everything about the history? I mean, it looks, there's so much information in the documentary, but was he willing from the very jump to tell you all the information that you wanted to gather?
Well, you know, Kenny's a talker. So, I mean, he had no problem sharing his stories. And he'd been sharing these stories for, you know, 70 plus years. So, I mean, he had them dialed in, you know, and so it was very easy on our end to extract that information from him. I mean, we sat down initially with him for like a 3-hour interview, which is brutal for anybody, but you know, a 90-year-old man right. to like go through a 3-hour interview and still remain a good sport by the end of it and be able to recall all these things from 60, 70 years ago. I mean, he knew names, he knew stats, he knew scores. I mean, it's unbelievable how sharp his mind was when we got to sit down with him. We were really, really, really grateful and thankful that it worked out the way it did.
Was there a specific game where Kenny's jumper became the stuff of legend?
Yeah, so there is one game. So Kenny did win a national championship. It was the first national championship in basketball where the NCAA champion played the NIT champion in 1943. And after that, Kenny went and fought in the South Pacific in World War II. When he returned back to America, they gave a lot of these players who went and fought in the war one more year of eligibility since they left school a little bit early. When he came back in 1946, shortly after his return, they were back in Madison Square Garden again playing LIU. And that night, somebody snapped a photograph of Kenny. And I wish I could remember. I know we've done research. I know the name. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. But they had a photographer who doesn't normally do sports, live sports. He's actually like a portrait photographer, somebody who took a lot of famous portraits. And they had him on the court. Life magazine had him on courtside, I think, because they maybe knew, this is all speculation now, but they knew that Kenny was going to be coming to town, and he had this jump shot that, you know, was so mystical that everybody was talking about. So this photographer snapped this photograph of Kenny. It's a perfect image, you know. It's he's level with the court, taking the photograph, so you see, like, the crazy height that
elevated on his jumper.
His ups
he said it's one thing to just like invent the jump shot. I shouldn't say that. That's nothing. But the fact that the guy who invented it could get so high off the ground at an era where not a lot of people could, that makes it even
absolutely.
More impressive.
Yeah, I mean, Dirk Nowitzki in the film says, you know, it looks like Russell Westbrook's, you know, jumper right now.
It was an interesting comparison. I like that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Although he was much better at it than Russell Westbrook is.
Well, I mean, supposedly Kenny said he had a 36-inch vertical vertical. And if you look at that, you believe it. Like, there's no doubt. So
how long did it take? I mean, once Kenny brought the jump shot into existence, even going back and watching some of the clips that you guys had in the documentary from that game against St. John's, which, by the way, even more crazy to me that the fact that it took the jump shot that long to be invented. The fact that the NCAA champion used to play the NIT champion. Like, I can't really wrap my finger around that one now. But how long after Kenny brought the jump shot into existence did other people and did this thing finally start to take off and become a staple in basketball like it is today?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, something that we do address in the film is that there were other pioneers who were jumping and shooting the ball. It just looked very different than what Kenny was shooting, which is what players are shooting today. I mean, you have players like Joe Fulks, who, you know, in early NBA set scoring records. But I mean, his jump shot was a two-handed shot where both of his hands were already above his head, and he maybe got just a few inches off the ground. And he could shoot the ball. Kenny played with him. So, I mean, he knows he had a jump shot, but it's not the shot that Kenny developed. And so, I mean, you can even look back into the early 50s. There was an article written by Jimmy Breslin, who was just a sports writer back then, but he ended up having a lot more acclaim to his name after that and where he went. But he talked about how the jump shot was ruining the game of basketball because it just required one player, you know, to rise up and shoot the ball, and it eliminated, you know, the pass and everything that made basketball a team sport. And so it was, you know, it was like a 50-50 chance if you were to be on a team whether or not your coach would let you shoot it or be happy about shooting it.
About that.
But you think about it, if you look at the game, you know, two decades ago when the three-point line was introduced and how, you know, the three-pointer, like, you maybe had, you know, if you took that shot in the 90s, early 90s, and you missed it, and it was a bad shot, you got pulled. You know, you're like, you're sitting on the bench. And then, you know, look at, you know, the numbers today and how many guys are shooting threes.
It's like, if you don't shoot 50 threes a game, you're running in practice.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's amazing to look back at the game and see where it came from and where it's going and how it's evolved over that time. And that's what's really cool and exciting, to, like, have all these younger guys, like the Stephen Currys, the Kevin Durants, and Dirk Nowitzkis, who are looking at this. And they're just, you know, completely blown away by, like, how different the game was. But then we got to sit down and share, you know, clips of Kenny and with them, and they can't believe, like, how ahead of the game he was for his time, you know, playing in the 40s.
Now, you talk about showing clips of Kenny to these various NBA players, and Stephen Curry is not only a contributing voice on this film, he turned out to be an executive producer as well. Was this something where you started to interview him and talk to him about this project, and he decided he wanted a larger role in it too?
Yeah, so you shoot for the stars, you know, you swing for the fences with, you know, who you think you can get and who you hope to sit down with, and so obviously Stephen Curry, you know, greatest shooter of all time, you know, one could argue. It's like, we've got to at least make an attempt to sit down with him and include his voice in this film. And we got connected through one of our executive producers, Mary Beth. She was connected to a mentor of Stephen's and KD's, who we shared the film with. Now, obviously, this is a rough cut of the film. It didn't have any of these guys in it yet. But he watched it and was just so inspired by Kenny's story. He's like, I really feel like both these guys need to participate in this, and so I'm going to forward this along to them to watch this link. And so we did. And, you know, Stephen specifically, we shared the film. I think he watched it on his way over to China last year before the season got started. And watched it on the plane, and he got back. And when we finally connected, he was like, man, yes, I want to be a part of this. Let's do
it. Awesome.
And we were like, that's fantastic. So let's sit down for an interview. And then his management, who runs, who's also a producer, Jerron, was like, hey, we'd love, you know, to see if there are other ways that Steph could be involved with this beyond just sitting down and interview. And that's something we never anticipated happening, but we were, you know, obviously very excited about.
They were that pumped about it. They wanted to find a...
It's an inspiring story. I mean, it's something, you know, Kenny is, he is a character that I think, like, his values, his beliefs, and how he, you know, the way he teaches sportsmanship today, and you see that in the film, is something I think we so desperately need today in today's society, that it works so well, and it spans across. It doesn't matter how old you are, where you're from, you know, your gender. Like, somebody's going to connect with Kenny. We've shared the film kind of all over, you know, doing screen testings in different parts of the United States. And, you know, from getting to work with screening with young people, like, you know, in New York City, who, you know, some, we had one guy who was like, you know, I'm kind of afraid of, like, you know, old guys who are like cowboys, you know, out in the wild, you know, doing that thing. But I love Kenny, and it's so easy to connect with him that anybody can fall in love with.
No doubt about that. And you've got quotes both in the documentary and on the website, jumpshotmovie.com, from guys like Dickie V and from Bobby Knight, saying that it's a crime that Sailors is not in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Do you know why that is from talking to people? Were you able to figure that out? And is there still any chance? I mean, I know it'd be posthumously at this point, but is there some way that this guy can get the credit he deserves for really revolutionizing and globalizing the game of basketball with the invention of the jump shot?
Yeah, I mean, we absolutely believe that there is still a chance that that could happen. And we're hoping that this film serves as a tool for those who, you know, have the say and have that power to make that happen. So we're really, you know, we're definitely working on something with it. And I think right now we're building out an impact campaign, that's going to coincide with the distribution of the film.
Cool.
So we're able to build up that momentum, which should work probably in time for when people are actually going to be voting for, you know, the next year. I guess it would be the 2020, Naismith Hall of Fame induction. So
as you're working toward distribution of this movie, does that involve just finding the right streaming service to release it through? Is there going to be a theatrical release in a limited sense?
Yeah, all of that is up for discussion right now.
Okay.
We don't know the specifics yet. Whenever we find the right people who we're gonna, you know, partner with and help distribute the film, a lot of those questions will be answered, and you know, we'll be very excited to share that information with everybody when we find it, because obviously we want everyone to watch this inspiring film.
For sure. And for you personally, Jake, was this, you know, you said this is your first foray into directing. Is this something that you've always wanted to do, just being a part of the filmmaking process? How did, was this a childhood dream? How did this come about for you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so films have always spoke to me from a very early age. Like, I was always emotionally invested in any great film that I was watching. And it wasn't until I was in high school that I began to realize that I had this passion for storytelling. I grew up playing sports, and when you know play sports in Texas, you know, you're kind of playing everything: football, baseball, track, swim in the summers. So I had a very full plate. And then once, you know, you start to retire from all these sports in high school, you're like, what am I going to do with my life now? And I was like, well, let's do film. This is really interesting. And that was kind of the transition for me. And specifically with film, it's something that, you know, I really, really am passionate about, and it's exciting to get to incorporate, you know, this type of storytelling in what I do. And it's a dream come true. I mean, it's something I've been doing this full time in Austin for 10 years, and doors continue to open, and I'll continue to head down this way as long as I can.
So I love asking filmmakers this question because of the variety of answers that the question begets. But you just mentioned that you love telling stories. What's the key to a good story?
Ooh, a great character.
Great character.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, Kenny is an amazing character to get to work with. And look at how he shines in the film, and that elevates the film, you know, from that perspective. And so, I mean, I think you can obviously take somebody that maybe isn't as great of a character and still craft a story that works. Narrative and documentary filmmaking are both very different in how you have the flexibility to shape and manipulate a story. You know, documentary, you could tell the same story a million different ways, where narrative, you're kind of following a script. And so, for documentaries, having an amazing subject that can help carry that weight on the screen is a huge asset.
And a big reason why Kenny is such a great character goes well beyond his basketball acumen. And you've touched on it in a couple of your answers, just how great a person he was. And one of the questions that you ask in that summary to try and lure people into watching the movie is why Kenny Sailors wasn't more as an NBA player. He did play in the NBA. He did well in the NBA, but his career ended pretty abruptly in terms of playing basketball in the NBA. Why is that?
Yeah, well, you know, coming from World War II, he was already a little bit older than most people would expect somebody to enter in as a rookie in the NBA. So he was 26 when he came back and actually started playing. And he already had a family. So when he left for World War II, he was married. He had a child on the way. He came home, met his son for the very first time. And from there, you know, he played the 5 seasons in the NBA that he got. They gave him his pension for the, you know, the total of 7 years for his 2 years of service. And he decided, you know what, it's time to spend time with my family. His wife dealt with asthma and emphysema, and the cities were really tough on her. So, you know, they're having to choose where they lived, where the air was the cleanest air that they could find. And
literally life and death for her. Like yeah. The doctor said that she may only have a couple of years if you got to stay in the city.
Yeah, they said, it, you know, she'd be lucky to reach the age of 50, which, you know, is just, it's super young. And so Kenny decided, you know what, we're gonna focus on what's more important here, and I'm going to concentrate on my family. And they ended up moving out of the cities and started pursuing that.
It's crazy how they met, through the story of Kenny and his wife. And before we let you go, Jacob, I got to ask you. Clearly, sports are a big part of your life. I need a favorite sports movie, because sports and film are big for you. So it doesn't have to be basketball related, but just any sports movie. You have an all-time favorite?
Yeah, you know, I mean, probably one of the earlier sports movies that I fell in love with that we watched repeatedly in high school with our football team was Rudy.
Okay.
I mean, that's one I still watch today, and I still get worked up getting to watch it. And so, I mean, that's at the top of the list that comes to first to mind for me.
Good answer.
Sean Astin did a great job in that one. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Jacob Hamilton, you're a local filmmaker. You've done a great job on this new documentary, Jump Shot. BK, did you say it's jumpshot.com is the website?
It is jumpshotmovie.com.
Jumpshotmovie.com to check out the details and to stay in touch on when you can finally watch this this great film. We've had a chance to do so through the pre-screener that we were provided, and I look forward to watching this movie again, Jake. It was a fantastic film.
We're going
to
promote the hell out of this,
the guys' reactions to this. Yeah. Please make sure to let us know when those things have been finalized, and we can help you spread the word for other people getting to watch the movie, too.
Will do. Will do.
All right.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
A lot of fun. All right, Jacob Hamilton joining us in studio.